You're now listening to Sound Talent Media. Check out more shows at soundtalentmedia.com.
The Vietnam War, it's over.
Your job's just begun.
A new HBO original limited series.
Welcome to the world of spycraft. Strap in.
From executive producers Park Chan-wook and Robert Downey Jr.
What are you concealing?
Based on the Pulitzer Prize-winning novel by Viet Thanh Nguyen.
What if I told you that I was a communist spy?
How did you become this?
The Sympathizer, streaming April 14th on Max. Subscription required.
Corona Chronicles, episode number 12. I'm your co-host, Jay Reason, and I'm here with the one and only Danny Diablo, a.k.a. Lord Ezek. Yeah. Damn, that is a fucking fly mask, dude. Where'd you get that? What is that? That's an MQ mask.
Yeah. Shout out to my brother MQ who sent this to me. This is basically a mask for MQ. You get the stuff at MQ Planet, at MQ Planet on Instagram.
Dude, that's sick. Let me see it. Show one more time close up, because that's a sick mask. That's dope.
All right, yeah. MQ, the king of graffiti. All the other graffiti artists wish I could be MQ. That's all I have to say.
We will have a link available for you to see over here. So, E, how have you been, man, the past week since our last episode, man? The last one was great. I just want to give a quick shout out once again to our boy Aram from Change, who was on.
The guy's a great interviewer.
Yeah, he flipped the script.
I've been listening to Change. Change is dope.
Oh, good. I'm glad you like it, man. Yeah, I got a little announcement to make about Change in a minute that they sent over, but I wanted to give a big shout out to all of the new listeners, because we got a bunch of new people who came on board who had never heard of our show, who are fans of yours, E, that Aram exposed to. So I want to say what's up to all the new listeners and everybody who's following.
All the nice people out there who are intelligent, literate. Enunciate those people. They're great people. We need people like that in hardcore music. Because we got most of the hardcore people are retarded. Yeah. So, can't even say that. People get mad at that.
Anything goes on our show. You know that, man.
Challenged already. No, that motherfucker's a retard, right? Well, and that's why he thrives in hardcore.
It's good because, like I said, man, it went exactly the way I would have thought. Oh, those are sick too. Some stickers. All that's available at MQ Planet, right?
Yo, hold on. I'm sorry about that. Talk about Aram. Let's go back.
No, I was just gonna say.
Love you, Aram.
Shout out to Aram and shout out to Vampiro.
Armenian power.
Shout out to Vampiro. A lot of new listeners from that one too. And he was a really great guest. So I was really excited about last week's episode, man. So I just want to give a quick shout out to all the new listeners.
Shout out to Vampiro. I love you, Vampiro.
Yeah,
I had the best time, and he made me feel. He actually made me feel good about myself. Yeah, Aram too. They love my music and think I'm cool. I'm just a normal guy from Queens. That's all I am. But look, I want to give a shout out to my boy MQ because he sent me a $2 bill.
Oh, that's sick.
He put a $2 bill for good luck. I'm going to put this in my tattoo shop. I'm going to put this up in
that's
it.
That's awesome.
I got all these. This is so insane. Like MQ, the stickers.
Oh, shit.
He sent me so much stuff and so much cool stuff. I just want to show you this because this is a big thing. Like, my best friend growing up, we took the whole world on.
That's so. Yep. Oh, those are sick. That's sick.
Like that. Ty, rest in peace. But I want to show you some stuff. But he needs. It's just so insane the stuff he sent me. And my girl, he's doing. MQ's doing fashion now, so he's doing jackets and some pullovers. And so basically, he's finally doing what I did. Like we both went from thugs, you know. Into
entrepreneurs.
Entrepreneurs. You know what I mean? Like, just like to pull the hose. He always liked to pull on. I'm like, you know what I mean? So,
that's
I'm sorry about this. Jam, something. Sorry about this, but hold on. There's a few
no,
more.
No, all good, man.
And so, basically, yo, the king of kings, MQ the king. Go to an Instagram at MQ Planet,
and you'll see that as you're watching us, you'll see
all,
this.
If you want to grab anything for MQ, like yes, he has stuff for sale on his thing, on his Instagram. Go, yo, independent artists. A real graffiti writer. He could sell sell out like Bansky and all these other fucking guys.
Right, right.
But those guys look up to him. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's
all
dope,
look
man.
Up to him. And that's why.
That's dope.
I was at my mom's house yesterday.
I saw that. Shout out to Ruth. To Ruthie.
Shout out to my mom, my Ruth finger, my niece Topaz, who's going to school.
Is that the one who's not? Is that the one who's not allowed to play with Godzilla?
No, that's not the one. That's not the one. But Topaz is going to school for a special school in Manhattan. It's like for the arts, for Broadway films and theaters. And she sings opera, and I was so happy for her, man. And I was like, and we were talking yesterday, and I brought Alexandra with me, and my mom loves Alexandra Storm, so it was cool. But shout out to my mom. But she was so mad at me. He's like, I got locked up the last time. The cops were looking for me. She knows MQ had part of it.
Yeah.
So she was so mad at MQ. When she saw MQ, she's like, say his name.
Don't say it. Yeah, I'll cut that.
She goes, MQ, I'm mad at you. And he's like, I'm sorry. And they hugged each other. Yeah. Babe, shut the door, please.
That's such a great story, man. So, E, what other than that, what have you been working on this week, man? What's been going on over there? So I know, right before we came on to do this episode, you just got some cool news about the indie movie that you finished a little while ago.
Priceless.
Called Priceless. Tell us what happened right before we started recording. You won something. What did you win?
I woke up at 4:30 today. Yeah. 4:30 p.m. Yeah, because I do the paintings. So I've been doing. I had like four commissioned paintings to do. So basically, a commission with love.
Nice.
but basically, Big Left wrote congratulations. He called me up. I was like, "What the fuck is congratulations?" Me. Oh, I'm doing Big Left's. Come out. I'm doing Big Left's album. We signed him to Force 5 Records. Big Left, formerly of La Coca Nostra.
He's back?
He's back. I got him. Ill Rock's first artist.
I remember, listen.
Yes.
You guys did the video in the basement of Toad's place. I remember.
Yeah, Big Left is back. Formerly La Coca Nostra. Signed an album deal with Force 5 Records. I was the man that made it happen. I'm... A&R for that. Also, executive producer and producing the record.
Dope. That's awesome.
Well, Big Lab called me to say, hey, congratulations. I said, no, congratulations. You got the record deal. He's like, no, Ezek, you won. I was like, what the fuck are you talking about? It was Hope Mode. They posted on the internet. I won today. Real Wolf, Tom Vujic from Real Wolf won best new director of a short film. And I won best duo of the new short film with Peter Green. So yeah, we won together.
Awesome.
I won. I'm an award-winning actor. Me.
That's awesome, man. When do we get to see do we know when we're going to be able to see the movie yet?
Next year. And we're doing the whole, we're supposed to do like physically go to all these events.
Yeah, but
because of COVID fucked everything up.
New York Hardcore Curse.
I got the New York Hardcore Curse. I won an award, but no one gives a fuck.
But you can't go enjoy it.
Can't go. That's my life. I won an award, but no one gives a fuck because you can't enjoy it. It's called the New York Hardcore Curse. Anything that's attached to me will have that.
That's so funny, man. Fucking.
I know, Jay. I'm so fucked up. But so.
I mean, it's like, but what am I going to say other than it's funny? Because it's just like, I don't want to say. I mean, it's just. I don't know. I don't believe in shit like that. You know that. We've talked about that.
Well, hold on. Do you believe in this? Hold on one second.
All right. So for those who aren't...
Get dust! Control the drug buzz! Run! Hi! Looking for dust!
So, yo, if you... This is why I recommend
smoke his dust.
This is why I always recommend everybody watch the YouTube, because if you are not seeing that this T-shirt that Ezek has on right now, give. I mean, it's very ignorant. It's probably one of the most ignorant shirts.
It's a picture of Scam Dust's ugly face.
At the size of the entire shirt, though.
Look at it.
In black and white. What's on the back? What's it say in the back?
What's it say in the back?
Eastern Wolves Street.
What's it say right here? Forget it, baby. It's all right. My girl, my girl's beautiful. I didn't say she's really smart. She can't be.
Damn, that's foul. So wait, what's the story with that shirt, though? Give me the story with that shirt.
The shirt is the Eastern Wolves, been friends of mine for years. Shut the door, babe. For years, and they've been helping hook me up rings. Once I introduced a scam, he bled them dry, and now, now I got a shirt.
So no more clothing company for them.
I don't know. Scam. I'm just happy that I got the Scam Dust shirt. Shout out to Peter Green, who also won the award with me.
Shout out Peter Green. Awesome.
Peter Green.
Awesome,
I love you, Peter
actor.
Green.
And
one of the best in the world.
One of your guys' great friends. Real quick before we jump into the show today, I just want to plug something for, we were talking about Change earlier, but those guys, obviously, you know, they were going to do a record release show. After after we recorded the episode with them, their guitar player, Chris Williams, asked if we would share an announcement for them, and I said, of course. So on October 8th, they're going to do a live stream record release. But instead of playing, the traditional live stream, they're going to open this up to have an educational discussion for some stuff, for a bunch of different things. I'm going to plug the information on.
I was thinking about the same thing during the Scarhead record release party.
You know? Not a bad idea. You could team up with Change. You could have a round.
No, those guys are fucking good guys, bro.
Yeah, they're doing, listen, they want to do something positive.
That's fucking it's fucking amazing, bro.
Yeah, they want to do something different. So basically what they're going to do is when you buy the record during this live stream, they're donating a bunch of money to help I hope I get this correct, the Coalition to Stop Violence Against Native Women. It's a huge discussion. So I'm going to plug all that stuff there. You'll see it on here. I've just been putting the finishing touches on Static Era Store.
When is the store officially going to be open?
That's the million-dollar question right now.
I'm DJing that night.
You are DJing that night. I already got a stage there. I think maybe episode 13 of Corona Chronicles, I'll be filming it there.
I'll do a short set.
You'll come down. So I think, I've just been putting the finishing touches down as we're recording this. Today is the 21st. I was originally aiming for the 25th of Friday, but I think I'm going to do the following week. So I think that's the first. Just to get, want to make sure it's like perfect, but dude, it's coming a really long way.
I'm really, really, really proud of you, bro.
Thanks, man.
This is something that you need a hub, your own little hub.
Yeah, just to make it all happen.
And let people know that fucking Jay Reason is here to stay, motherfucker.
Well, listen, this is the thing. It's like I tell everybody, it's like sometimes you just got to remind everybody what you do because, you know, a lot of people forget. So this way, no one will forget. There's a location for it. You can come visit. So again, the location is 43 River Street, Milford, Connecticut. And like I said, grab us on Instagram, Static Era Records. That's my new shit. And I got the Teardrop record, which I dropped.
I got to put something on one of those records.
Well, you know, you and I are working on your thing, which we're going to announce once it's a little more.
That's
our big record for next year. One of my big records with a little sneak here. Big announcement for next year that Ezek and I are working on something that is going to be fucking forget about it.
Ill,
it's going to be
Ill, hard, fun, hard, hard,
real hard. So, E, we got a good show today. We got two guests, which I'm really excited about. One of them is a friend of yours. Well, one of them, we both know that one of them is a friend of yours. So we're going to get the first guest on. He is an independent rapper, Tell us a little bit about this, about and a little bit about the history with him, and I'm going to get him queued up.
Well, I listen, in the world of hip hop, I'm in the underground. I do hardcore, and I do rap. You know what I mean?
So yep.
The past 20 years, I've been doing the ever since 1999, I've been doing like hip hop shit. But I've always been hip hop. You know what I mean? Always
yep.
been, you know, like rap influence. So on the West Coast, there's a dude named Insane Poetry, who's in the whole like realm of like Twisted and ICP, all the yep. Juggalo world. And this dude been rhyming since the 90s and like a West Coast shit, and he's so dope. So, but you know what? Hey, you can be dope, but if you're dope and you're not a nice guy, I don't give a fuck about you.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, you're not cool? Then go fuck yourself. This dude is one of the nicest guys I know. And like talking wise, we speak on fucking... that's how old I am. We speak on the computer. We speak on the phones, whatever. And social media, it's dope, and I want to get him out there. He needs to be known, bro, because the dude is so dope. You mean?
All right.
Insane Poetry. All right?
Danny is a big fan, and I'm just getting into learning a little bit about him, and I'm really excited to welcome to the show Insane Poetry.
Poetry, yeah! What up?
Wow. How are you doing?
Hey, what's up, Doc? What's up? Yes. How are y'all doing?
That's good.
What's popping.
I'm good. Hey. Where are you at right now? You're in the studio. You're in your studio?
I'm in the studio. I'm in Denver, Colorado, bro. That's where the action is. That's where the action is, bro.
That's awesome, man.
I'm working on a solo project, one with me and my guy. That we'll get into him. His name is Scum. We'll get into him too. But you know, we working, bro. Pandemic ain't did shit but made us busier.
Well, that's what I was just gonna ask you about, man. I mean, one of the things on the Corona Chronicles that we've been asking of our guests is, what are some of the things that you have been working on, dude? Because I have said if you are not being productive in these last couple of months, man, you are sleeping.
You're not a real artist anyway. Because anybody that's been in the game, anywhere, even half as much as me and Danny has been, you already are working. You were already working prior because once you know it creates, your art creates residuals and you can live off this shit, this is your job, your brand. That's how you work, bro.
Right.
The pandemic stopped the touring. That's what that did. It didn't stop the money. It didn't stop our money.
Features, just getting your resume, your collection bigger.
Shout out to Danny Diablo on Cameo.
Insane, hold on one second.
Insane, for the people who aren't familiar, tell us a little bit about who you are. Give us the elevator pitch, if you will, to the listeners who aren't familiar with you, what you do, where you come from.
I'm from Southern California. I went to Cerritos High School. That's in Los Angeles County. I was with a lot of people that end up being part of what real hip hop was for the West Coast. The Beat Junkies. A lot of Red Maddie. Yeah, bro, I'm from that era. Up north, Rock Raider and them. A lot of different turntablists. I used to be at Radiotron, which was the hub where a lot of New York City, and that Crazy Legs, the Rocksteady crew was there. Ice T before even Ice T was there.
Ice T was always there. Yeah,
my God.
Table.
African Islam. That's how I met African Islam through, for real.
Radiotron.
I tell people this. I always tell people that everybody want to know what. You know, Eazy-E. I'm like, I'm from the West Coast. There was nobody who ever called themselves Eazy anything. That was an East Coast thing. One of my guys from Patterson, New Jersey, there was called an APO crew that was mentioned in the Compton little movie, but that was really loosely based on what really happened. I knew those guys personally. And those guys had a friend by the name of Eazy-E. His name was Edwin Walker. He came, he got in our crew. We was called His Majesty before I was even in Insane Poetry. It was me and two other dudes, and he wanted to get down with us, and he's telling the HBO crew, I'm going to change my name to from Eazy-E to Supreme. And Eric Wright was in the studio because they was fucking with Dre at the time, but Dre was nobody. He was nobody at the time. So those dudes was in the studio with him, and it's like loosely documented in the real. But when I tell people the truth, I'm like, let's be real. West Coast dudes was on Baylor, because whatever, you know, whatever that shit, it was not easy anything. That was Easy Lee. You had to be a person in graffiti to knew that kind of lingo, that later East Coast lingo.
Yeah.
Had to, bro. That's why I know about you, Danny, like really more than you know. And it's like, I'm a head, bro. I'm a motherfucking real hip hop head, bro. I'm old school in 53, but I know it, bro. I know it like really well.
Yo, that's dope.
Hey, bro, I can tell an average motherfucker that they ain't gonna never believe it, bro. And it don't matter if I can get the real, it doesn't matter. It don't fit the narrative. That's what I'm just saying. But anybody who knew the difference back in those days, they knew we didn't say on the West Coast, easy anything. That was Shell Toe, Dicks, Gazelles, and Run DMC.
That's crazy, bro.
And it's crazy that that happened, and it just look how it ran and made Eazy-E famous. And it, and nobody even questioned, like, there's never been anybody with a nickname, anything on the West Coast ever since.
Yeah,
even
I'm going to ask you a question. I know that you do your rhyme style is so ill because, like, a lot of, like, you know, in the underground, but also we crossed over. Me and you crossed over to the whole Juggalo stuff and those events. And I remember seeing an old video of you from like the early 90s that you were like West Coast gangster shit. And that shit was like the time when the DLC came out and all that. And I remember and your shit was straight hard, but you were talking some of that fucking horror shit too, like crazy, like killing people and. But more than other people, you mean?
The crazy thing is like the I was feeling like because the lane I was coming out of, what I was doing was like foreign. That shit was alien. And then, hey, bro, I was at a panel. It was the Compton panel. It had a dude named Tweety Birdlow from Compton.
Yeah.
He's not here no more. Yeah. Dude from the Lynch Mob.
Yeah,
Lynch Mob. They was there. And it was like Maxine Waters was there. And I was like, why am I? And it was the gangster rap panel. I'm like, why am I on here? My shit is way dark. And it was like, no. You know what? They put me on. And I realized that back, that's when Lynch Hung. Like Lynch Hung, I hadn't even know who Lynch Hung was. He had did the record for X-Rated.
Like
comparing my shit to X-Rated, and I was like, I've never. That's the craziest
you never,
shit. I think.
You never even heard of him, right? You were doing your shit.
Bro, I never. You know what? I always blame my mom. I'm like, I was just birthed out of the canal of whatever the fuck you was on.
I used to bug out all the time because like, when people did like hard shit, it was like. Yeah, because I come from, my music is more, I come from the hardcore punk, bro. But I cross over. I'm still talking about street shit. That's my shit. Street shit. I don't know anything else to talk about. You know what I mean? But my thing is like when I hear like Brother Lynch Hung and all these guys, and I was like, yo, your shit was evil. It was like almost like how G-Rap first came out. We did the G-Rap was telling how killing people, shooting people in the head. No, it was like that style. And that's what I'm saying. G-Rap to me is the illest. Like, your lyrical content and your, the way you spit is right up there with those people, man. And I give you props, man.
I do it for the same reason you do it for. You do it for the fucking artist, the master of your art. It has nothing to do with a fucking dollar sign behind it, bro. That's the reason. Bro, I understand the branding. I promise you. But when I'm in creative mode, I give a fuck about none of that. I give a fuck about what we've been doing since the spray can days, bro. I'm like, dude, we have to keep giving them that because when I see the youngsters doing all the sucker shit that's going on and they're trying to fill their prisons and trying to do all that weird shit, I see that. But our level is like, you know what? We got a different thought process about how we getting it in, bro. And it's like for me to get it feel like I'm getting it now to get your respect at this point in my life, bro. Not like when I was really trying to really get the respect, because I really wanted, I didn't give a fuck about money. I just wanted people to say, that dude's dope. You know what I'm saying? That's just dope.
You are dope. And it's like, listen, I come from Queens, and I'm mixed, you know, like, so me, it's like, when people put barriers for things, I'm like, yo, bro, I'm a street kid, so when I see something, I give due credit, no matter what, even, you know, people out there that don't like it, your enemies, and people ask me about my enemies, and I'm like, yo, they'll be like, how about, I know people like saying, fuck those, they have their own history, but I give the whole history, you mean, people don't do that, Like I grew up, and the whole, when I see Swagger, and to me, BMC, just not just because of the lyrical content skill, but you can, it's everything. You can be the best rapper in the world, but if you get slapped in the face and cry, I don't want to listen to the music. You know what I mean? You see those kids escape. You know what I mean? So, but it's everything. It's not authentic.
It's not from the heart. From the heart, bro.
How you conduct yourself? So it's cool, man. Yo, you are a force to be reckoned with. And I know all those people on the West Coast, all over the juggalos and my hardcore fans, they know talents, and they know that's why they respect you. And that's as a musician, but you're a good person. There's not that many people in our industry that are cool.
You know what? I think they miss, some people miss the mark on what they're trying to get out of it. And maybe when you get to a certain age, you're still striving for a certain acceptance.
Yeah.
And the motherfuckers who just who they are,
yeah,
that's just who they. Hey, bro, I don't need to be Jay-Z. I don't need to. Those dudes got their lane. I don't need to be them dudes.
Yeah.
We talking about people that fuck with what we do, bro.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I
like more underground
shit. I just like more gritty shit because it's more. It to me, it's an energy that you cannot hold back, and that's what's missing from music. But they don't want that, you know. In any relationship, they don't want that because they've already invested stock in a lot of things. That
they got money.
They got put in these big. The labels are signing the drug addicts and the super overdebt.
Yeah.
Put niggas in prison, bro. We know this shit, bro.
Insane. Let's talk a little.
I'm sorry.
Oh, I was gonna say, let's talk a little bit about the music that you've released. Talking about, like you're saying, all these rappers. Talk a little bit about your catalog and your discography and some of the stuff you've put out. You know,
what labels you fucked with? What labels and records came out? Tell us who you fuck with.
I started off, I'll do a quick, like, I'll shortcut it, I'll give a quick rundown and shit, but I started off, I worked with a guy on the West Coast by the name of Egyptian Lover.
NWA, exactly.
I started off with me, a dude named Shakespeare, and another dude named MD. We were, we did a record, put it in his hands. What it was, though, is I was a DJ for KDAY, 1980 K-Day. I was a mix master.
Yeah.
I'm a mix master, bro. I cut, too, bro. But, hey, I was a part of that network. And being able to be a part of that network as to being a DJ, a couple years later when I put my own thing together with my dudes from Chicago, I was able to get some air, some energy.
Sure.
From KD. Even a little bit of air, but it was a little bit because the network I was fucking with, it was Egyptian Lover, the West Coast, like Uncle Jam's Army, all these people like that had big records were under these certain dudes, and we had no idea what industry shit was. These dudes were showing us love because for some odd reason, my connection with Greg Mack, with K-Day, and being dope to them and being dope happened to work out, but I had no idea, bro. We had no idea. But from there, it just graduated. I ended up fucking with Roddy L. Joe Cooley, doing some shit with them, jumping on their record. I got to do some solo shit to jump off on Nasty Mix Records, same label that Sir Mix-a-Lot was on, Kid Sensation. I got to do an album with called A Grim Reality. And that kind of just kicked everything off because the record was based on I'm doing this fantasy ass horror course. Then I'm flipping it because I'm from LA and I'm doing the same mirror image of all this horrorcore shit, but on some real street shit, like the mirror of what I see. And the shit worked. I mean, I was in this, we got the Source magazine and all that, but through trials and tribulations of the game and how everything changed, bro, it's like, I just been doing a lot of different things. I work with Sutter King, which I know you know who I'm talking about.
Shout out Sutter. Yeah, he's the
Queens, baby, Queens. DJ Black.
So Insane, what are you working? Insane, what are you
working? Don't crazy for doing that. Real shit. That's
Insane, what are you?
That's just hard. That's some hard shit. You and Sonic came hard.
What are you working on?
It's hard, bro. Hard body shit, bro. Gorilla Nails, Etho, all that shit. Yeah, I know you fucking that type of thing.
That's you, my boy.
Insane. So what do you got coming out right now? What are you working on? You got a new releases?
Okay. To keep it real, I'm working on three projects at one time right now.
Give them to us.
The success of my guy Scum.
Shout out to Scum.
Hey, the really dude, I have a second career because of this guy. No question, bro.
No question.
I can have a whole different thing about that guy. I can interview that guy. And real shit. He has provided enough viable energy and visibility for me to people like such as my guy right here, Danny, and such as yourself to say, hey, well, you know, where's this guy been? Right. No, I've been here, but you have to.
You need the right lane. The scum is like DRP. They're like the same.
Yes, bro. Hey, bro. And the cool thing is he has his own thing, bro. And you know it. It's like you have to have your own thing because you can't sound like nobody. You got to do your own thing. And I was able to fit in line lane. So me and him have a group called MMMFD, which is three M's and F and D. Make my motherfucking day, bro. That shit is like Red Man and Method Man on some dark shit. That's real shit.
I saw the one with the van with the cops kill Piggy.
You
got to kill the cops.
For real. So that's what I'm talking about, bro. Yeah. And we got so much energy from that. It's like it allowed me to do my solo shit a little bit. Like it's way different. Like I can have fun with Triple MFD. It's all dark shit. We can't. Yeah. The art, the painting is all dark slasher movie shit. Like all some real shit. And the people who fuck with us, that's all they want.
Yeah.
But when we do solo shit, it's different. I'm way more wide, more peripheral. I have fun with Triple MFD. With my shit, I'm way more meticulous with it. I have to be because I'm pleasing a so many different angles of the genre. You know, I can't piss off the poor niggas, but I got to.
I hear you. Yeah. I hear you, bro. That's amazing.
Bro, I'm blessed. I'm blessed to be able to be in that kind of scenario, bro. Hey, bro, I'm happy, bro.
You've been on my radar for years, and I told Jay I gotta get this guy on because this dude is killing. He also did a guest feature for me for the GLD Cancer Company.
Awesome.
Edo's on that too. So.
I'm just trying to talk, hey bro. That's that. You know what? How that makes me feel? Okay. I found out one day I was out in a fucking a record store.
Yeah.
And I go through the record store because we don't do that shit nowadays. I'm in Denver. I'm going to the record store with one of my hip hop niggas.
Yeah.
I go through and I see some old RD12, Royce. Dudes from
D12 and all them guys.
I have a record on that shit, and I'm like, oh shit, I'm on the same record with all these heavy Bumpy Knuckles,
Freddie Fox,
certified niggas, man. And I'm like, this is dope, bro. And I'm like, I'm here, we're filming a video for something else, and I'm like, I wouldn't even expect that shit to be here, and it was there, and I'm like, showing them, like, dude, I'm bro.
How crazy is that?
In my life, I can never, ever connect. Like this one. I appreciate y'all more.
On that record, I'm doing. Check this out. On that record, I got you on it. I got Roz Dillums on it. I got Snack the Ripper on it. And Edo. So those are four. So it's going to be dope, bro. It's going to be dope. That's all together, one record.
You already know. Just send me the link, and you already know what's going on. So
before we wrap it up, Insane, real quick, where can everybody find you online? Plug us the socials so everybody can find you.
Okay, Facebook, Insane Poetry. Instagram is where I really am. I don't really do too much of the Facebook shit outside of promo, just because it's just goofy shit. Bro, it's just super, super goofy. I do IG, just the real Insane Poetry.
Yes.
Instagram, YouTube, Insane Poetry TV.
Yes.
Or Gorehop, LSP Gorehop, man. That's what I'm.
And we'll have links. We'll have links for all that stuff. So
man,
Insane.
All your links up. I love you, brother. We're gonna get up.
I got a joint for you. I promise you, it's your
thing.
I'm trying to you and gotta get me, you and Kane on something, bro.
Yeah, I gotta get me, you. I got you, brother. Salute, my brother.
Hey, on real shit, salute on a short notice. Salute, and hey, till next time.
Thank you so much for joining us tonight. Everybody, please welcome.
Where is that? Stick out your head.
Wait, hold on 1 second. Everybody, please welcome to the Corona Chronicles, to Diablo Zen, Toby Morse from H2O.
Toby,
let me apologize to Toby for keeping you so long. We were having
what the fuck are you doing that?
Yo, he's like, I was waiting for an hour, but I love you. So I'm
sorry, man. I'm going to take full responsibility tonight for some technical. So we got Toby on tonight. Right. We're really excited about having him on tonight. So everybody, welcome Toby to the show. Yo,
Toby,
so, dude, welcome to the Diablo's Den. Give us, what have you been up to, man? I know during the quarantine, COVID shit has been fucking insane. You guys had a lot planned. What have you been doing? What were you supposed to be doing right now?
I was supposed to be getting back from Europe right now, probably. Every summer we go to Europe for festivals. So we had 21 shows booked this summer.
Holy fuck.
I was supposed to turn 50 in New York at a sold-out show and play 2 shows in New Jersey.
Wait. What?
That was in April.
You're 50 years old?
Yes, yeah, son.
Damn, son. You're older than me, nigga.
Of course.
Yes. 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 I'm younger than Toby. Yes.
Yo.
All right. Happy 50th birthday.
Thank you, brother. So, yeah, that got moved. Everything got moved till next year. And then I've been focusing on I redid my garage for my son into a soundproof studio slash boxing gym. That was really fun. Rusty Pistachio helped
me.
Best handyman in the world. Yeah, Rusty.
Shout out to Rusty.
Yeah. Rusty. And so we built that for like 3 months. And then my son's been surfing for like 2 years, and I never liked the ocean. I've been almost 20 years. I never fucked with the ocean. And so I started going to the ocean at 6 a.m. watching him surf. I'm like, you know what? I'm going to fucking try it. So I got a board. I got a wetsuit, and I started surfing, man. At 50 years old.
You're good. You're good.
I'm not. Max is a fucking. My son's
I'm
behind
telling
me.
You, listen,
Ripper.
You're good. Yeah. I know you. You're a good skater.
Thank you, man. I'm trying. It's way different than skating because you have control of the skateboard on cement or ramp. When you're on Mother Nature on the ocean, it controls you. It's a totally weird ass feeling, man.
Yo,
I can't explain it.
White Owl does that. He's been doing it for 5 years, and he has not. I have not seen him go more than 5 seconds. in Jersey and Queens and Brooklyn, he's the most horrible surfer in the world. They should beat him. The surfers should just beat him when they see him with a surfboard.
It's hard. It's harder than skateboarding. It's really anyway. My son shreds. He inspired me to surf, so I've been surfing. You know, I do all my workouts. I'm staying in shape and got my podcast and. Merchandise, all that shit. This is awesome.
Good for you.
That's awesome, man.
How's Moon doing?
Moon's doing good, man. She's doing really well. She works at the Barracks, which is a famous skate park in L.A. She's been there for 7 years. It's a private skate park downtown, by Eric Costa and Steve Barrett, and she runs the whole place. And It's awesome.
Are you doing your so Toby, for fans who don't know, you do a really rad podcast. Are you going to be recording that out of the new studio that you just built over there in the garage, or is that kind of the idea? Or
That studio hopefully is going to be where my son just leaves the house and goes, lives when he turns 18.
Oh, man.
So I just put AC in there, and I'm getting a couch in there. His band was there all today recording, doing videos. But I do my podcast.
What's the name of
Yeah, shout out to – give us a little shout out to Max's band.
My son's band's called Rend, and they got a couple of songs out. Tim Armstrong produced one. My brother just produced his first EP. They have their own sound. They're not hardcore. They're not punk. They're nothing that me and Izak grew up on. My son found like his own niche, his own music.
Well, listen, man, shout out to the young culture, man. Cause those are the people who always keep pushing and innovating. Cause years ago, I mean, those were us, that was our generation, and people didn't get it. So now it's cool that I think that kids, the one thing I like, dude, is that I don't get what the fuck is happening with young
either.
Music, which makes me feel like, all right, it's still moving in the direction it needs to move in, you know?
It's like Mr. Bungle meets Tool, and they love Slipknot, and they love like all these other bands that I never really fucked with.
New metal's big.
Yeah.
New metal is really big with the young kids. It's crazy.
My son's first exposure to like his favorite band is Fit for an Autopsy. That's the first band he fucked with. And then he's like,
shout out Will Putney.
Yeah, man, Pat. Oh, yeah, man. Yeah, man.
Shout out to Pat.
Pat rules. And then I went and seen the band with him, and I was like, oh shit, I know these guys from Terror Zone and like the hardcore scene. I didn't know that. Yeah. And so Max likes that, Slayer, Death, like all this grindcore, this black metal shit. It's all good.
But that's, I was to the young generation, man, I noticed they're so into all like the mix of all different shit. Even like you notice it too with like, I'm sure you've seen this, Toby, and like the merch crossover shit is like they'll have like black metal shit with like streetwear type of shit with like skate shit. It's like
Hip hop shit too. Necro, all his shit is fucking death metal.
You know what's crazy is that Max will play at these like house parties. He played one in South Central, and it's all hip hop acts, right? And then his band goes on, and then all the rappers are in the pit with the kids. It's like a mixed cross genres of this music, and there's like a mosh pit for his band. It's crazy, man. At a house. And I love it, though. Like, these kids, like, they love all that music, you know?
That's fucking awesome, man. Tell us a little bit about your podcast. That's one of the things I've been following recently that you've been doing. Been catching up on a ton of your episodes. You've had some really great ones. We were talking about that before you joined on. Chino from Deftones was on. You had Chris from Saves the Day, which was a great episode. You had, of course, Danny Diablo on.
Me.
I was getting He's there. Toby, tell the listeners, how did that come together? What was your idea with coming together? And I like the way that you launched it too, because you waited till you had a series of episodes and then launched it. Tell us a little bit about the idea of bringing that show together and how it came together.
Well, my friend Trevor Silmser, who Izak knows.
Shout out to Trevor.
Trevor, he was telling me I should start a podcast a couple years ago, and I wasn't even thinking about it. And then I started talking to Jamie Josta about it. He said, yo, bro, you should do it. And then Josta, out of nowhere, after this European tour, sent me my first Focusrite, which is a recording device for a podcast. He sent me his and blessed me with that in the mail. He's like, yo, do your shit. So Jamie and Trevor Sims are kind of inspired me to start it. And then I wanted to do it in chronological order of my life. So that's why I started. My first episode was my mom. And then I did my brothers, and I did Rusty. Then I did my band. I did like from Maryland to Rhode Island to Maryland to like, then I got all my New York friends. So I'm just trying to do it like that in order.
Madball's on, yep.
Who got more hits, me or Madball? Probably Madball, right?
Hits on what? Oh, the podcast? I don't know. Oh, you know, I don't know. I don't even check that shit. I should, though.
I'm going to check it.
Yo, Izak, do you think we could get, would Ruthie come on to Diablo's Den?
That'd be amazing.
Who,
yeah,
mom?
We should get your mom on for an episode. That'd be amazing.
Hell no. My mom was up and going Toby's. She loves Toby. Toby can't do no wrong. My mom loves Toby.
I love your mom too. Your mom's a freaking saint. Your mom's amazing, man.
My mom is you guys don't, you know, just know one part of her. But you see the mean side of her, Toby. You see how she can be.
Well, I seen when she had to check you for sure.
Yo, guess what just happened?
What?
I'm sorry about this. When I went downstairs, and I got a brand new mountain bike for my girl, a Harrow, brand new.
That's sick.
Mountain bike, all pink. But I didn't tell her. But she came in here with a fucking attitude, you know, doing the thing. And I had it in the kitchen. And said, oh, my God. While you guys are talking, you got to fight. Shout out to Ken. You're welcome, baby. Shout out to my boy, Ken, 357 from Astoria, Queens, graffiti legend. Thank you, Ken, 357. He's the one who hooked me up. He hooked me. He hooked my guy and hooks a bike. Sorry, that's all. Don't say that. My girl's happy right now.
Sure. Yo, that's good, good boyfriend points right
there,
man.
Yeah, that's shout out, man.
Good boy.
So we were just...
Yeah, the podcast. So yeah,
go ahead, Toby.
Yeah, the podcast. It was very therapeutic. My mom cried in the first episode. I cried and I had my brothers on. And by doing this podcast, I realized that me and my brothers and my mom, we definitely need to go to a therapist.
I
know we got dad issues and we were very emotional. And those episodes are very therapeutic. And my brothers told stories that I never knew about my dad and shit that my mom forgot about my dad. So it's been really roller coaster doing the podcast. But I love it, man. I love
it. Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
Do you think you can fuck up Todd, your brother Todd, in the fight?
I'll take down any of my brothers. I'm not even worried about that.
Yeah! I got them on you, bro. I got your back. Yeah. I heard that, Todd Morris.
Oh, the youngest brother.
Chasey, you too.
First, I'll take him down arm wrestling, and then we'll see what happens after that. It's all good. All
right.
Yeah, it's been really fun doing it. And like you said, I got a lot cool people on there. I just dropped Will I Am from Black Eyed Peas today.
That's sick.
I got a lot more.
For real, that's dope.
Yeah, Toby, one of the cool things about watching the trajectory of your show has been watching the guests. Like, have you noticed that since you've started it, more people are, has it been easier for you to get somebody like a Will I Am, or is like maybe before it wouldn't be, or how does something like that come together for you?
I know him from the Warped Tour days. And we're in the same vegan community. We always run into each other. We got exchanging numbers. And then I was like, yo, I'd like to have him on my podcast someday. He's like, bet, let me know when. And he just like came on my
house. Dude, that's fucking awesome.
And it's like, it's really cool. And I don't want to say what I have some really crazy ones that people are going to be like out of left field. You know, people that are my friends. I'm branching because I'm trying to get hip hop, hardcore, yeah, punk rock, skateboarding.
I mean, which totally makes sense. I mean, which makes sense, yeah, for anybody who's known you for a long time, man. I mean, you had like, that's all the shit you love anyways. Like,
yeah,
you always covered. Yeah. I mean, H2O always did interesting covers like that outside the box. I mean, you always, for as long as I know, you always skateboarded.
That's what he loves. He loves True Romance.
Oh, yeah. Well, yes, listen, sir. Shout out to Toby for helping my label get Michael Rappaport to autograph the 8x10 for the True Romance box set. Big shout out to Toby for helping War God get that done, man. Yeah, no, for real. Yeah, I love True Romance.
Oh, my God. That's so crazy, bro.
Yeah.
Yo, I'm going to send you some True Romance shit. I'm going to get information.
Oh, dude,
this,
for sure. Yeah, no, that's like, dude, that's... I got an email, dude, Toby, from Hans Zimmer about that box set. He loved it. He, like, lost his mind.
Wow.
Dude, it was crazy.
Wow. Hans?
The composer who did the thing, I sent him a box. Dude, like 8 months later, I got an email from him saying it was the fucking one of the coolest things he ever seen.
Cool.
Yeah, it was dope, dude.
Yeah, and then Ezak's video is great. He did. That was excellent. That was fucking excellent, man.
Thank you so much, Toby.
I should rap report that, too. He was tripping. It was cool,
what,
man.
For real? But how did... Oh.
What?
How's he doing?
He's doing good, man. He's doing his thing, man. He like really has a big voice on social media. I mean, he speaks his mind on a daily basis, man.
Yeah,
he don't give a fuck.
That's crazy.
But yeah, he don't give a... I know. He does. And I told him the other day, I was like, yo, you're the most punk rock friend I have, and all my friends are punk rockers because you actually don't give a fuck about people say.
Oh, I love hearing him call into the Stern Show. Is probably one of the fucking best shit there is. So
and when I said that to him, he goes, "Yeah, but I don't like punk rock." I said, "It's not about the music; it's your attitude.
Right.
Your attitude is like I don't give a fuck with anybody." And he doesn't. He puts his shit up and just keeps it moving, dude. It's pretty amazing, man.
So not to get too far off topic, let's talk a little bit about, I want to know how you guys met and what that first experience like. So what I like to do is first ask Toby what your first memory of Ezak was, and then I want to ask Ezak that question. So Toby, tell us what you remember first interaction with Ezak and kind of knowing him and becoming friends.
Okay, so the first time that I saw Ezak was when I lived in Jackson Heights in 1988, and Ezak worked at C-Town. And he was like a little, he was like a little skinhead, and me and Siv saw him like stocking cans in the fucking aisle, right? Fast forward like I don't know feel like a week later, he was fucking, he was jacked on top of the crowd. And they're like, yo, that's the Hebrew Hammer. Like, they call him the Hebrew Hammer. And he, like, he was jacked on the crowd. And then he worked at Relativity. I worked at Roadrunner. And I think Julian from Stillsuit worked somewhere else. And every Friday night, after we stole CDs from our job, we all end up at this place called Second Coming Records. And we'd all be selling our CDs there. And we all knew we were hardcore kids. And maybe that's the first time I spoke to him. I'm not sure if that's –
Tell him the first time you saw me. I remember the first time seeing you. I was fucking someone up. And all of a sudden, the guy on the floor knocked the guy out. And you were like, yo, are you Isaac? And then we were like, oh, shit. Remember? It was J.A. I knocked And you came up to me. I beat the shit out of the guy in the club. Remember? And you were like, yo, you're Isaac. I said, what's up? And we became friends.
Holy man. I mean, we used to see you around. And they were like, yo, that's him. Because he works at Relativity Warehouse. They're sick of it. All knew you were. And then all that stuff. And then, we started hanging. I remember, like, yeah, man, it's crazy because I remember Freddie moved to town too, and I remember he met you guys. It's crazy, man. It was just like early, like 88, 89, man. Yeah. Wild. And yeah, we just wrote some shit.
And we were best friends. We hung out every day.
Dude.
And you know what's funny? Like, and now I live in Jersey City.
And you stay with me in Jersey City. It's crazy, man.
Fuck, I hate the damn train. Oh, my God. That was years ago.
Is it Grove Street?
I know, Journal Square.
Okay, Journal Square, that's right. A little further than where I used to live. Yeah, we had that three-story house and it was like $1,000 for like six of us to live there. It was so cheap. Oh, my God, man.
And he lived right down the block from Apache.
Shit. I remember. He was on Apache, man. Was on Tommy Boy.
Yeah, we used to see him all the time.
Yep.
Him and Nikki D.
Remember Nikki D with the gap in the teeth.
So
that's what Freddie's like, yeah.
Toby, tell me a little bit about when you guys first met. Were you guys friends right off the rip, or like how did the friendship come together?
Yeah, we were friends right off the rip. We're both into hip hop, both into hardcore, same stuff. You know what I mean? I learned a lot from Isaac because I knew nothing about the graffiti side of anything. I knew what I saw in the Beat Street movies and loving New York from afar. But yeah. I just moved. I was 18 in 1988. And Isaac was in the mix of all that, like graffiti, hip hop, and punk rock. So I learned a lot about that. I learned that people get beat up for writing over people's names. I learned that people get hurt for that. I learned a lot of things that I like. And it's two different worlds. It's like, but at the same time, it's all part of one world. You know what I'm saying? The hardcore scene.
We would travel to shows. We would go everywhere together, man. Like for years, you mean? Then we started doing music. Both of us started doing. Bands.
Yeah, you guys toured together. So Sick of It All, right?
Yes.
Yeah, Sick of It All, Sheer Terror, Biohazard, Sick of It All tour. There was so many. Isaac started coming on tour with us.
Toby,
and those tours were wild. Man.
What stories do you remember of Isaac on tour? Because those are always make our fans love those. What's one that just sticks out in your head right off the rip? You don't have to get into details if it incriminates too much, but what is one that comes to mind?
I mean, let's just say that Isaac never started fights. He always had people's back. He always broke up fights, and he was the first to have you back in the second. And for some reason, stupid people will try to test this kid, even if he had an afro or a shaved head, because I've seen people step to this man that should never ever step to this man, and I don't know.
It's the red hair.
And I know this is not true because we're all humans, but I've always looked at Isaac as some invincible superhero since the day I met him, because he's been through so much. He's a total survivor. He's had a lot of loss in his life. He's been through a lot of pain, but he's always laughing, always having fun, and living to the fullest. And to me, he lives his life to the fullest. And I just feel like, I don't know, he's always been a superhero to me, man.
That's awesome.
And he's always had my back from day one. You know what I'm saying? Like, and he's been through a lot of shit. And he's got this gnarly headlock where, like, if he gets you in this headlock, it feels like you'd be in a pit bull.
Yo,
the pit bull has you.
Tell me the story when I went on tour with H2O, and the guy, The guy called. My father was a nigger in Cleveland.
Yeah, somebody said something bad to our manager Vaughn. Everything was going so good, and then somebody made a comment, and then out of nowhere, like the suit, this freaking arm, the whole place just exploded. And it was always like that. It would always be something was going to happen, and he wasn't there. But when something was about to happen, and he'd just be there out of the sky. It just I don't know, man. At all the right times, you know what I'm saying? And like, yeah, man. There was a lot of crazy shit.
a lot of fun. Yeah, we were kids, man. We would sleep over on tour, make fun, make jokes. You know, it was just fucking. It was like I never been outside of Queens, really. I mean,
yeah, so, I got pictures that I'll send you of us in the back of a cargo van. It was me, Isaac, Maddie Boy, Eric Rice. We're like having pillow fights, kicking each other. We're like all back of this van going on these road trips, man. It was crazy, man. So we're just getting started, man. It's wild. Then the Crown of Thorns, and then, yeah.
Well, it's crazy too, man, that all these years later, it's like to watch both of you guys, you know, us just to step out here as a fan for a second and watch you guys grow and evolve as musicians into like podcasting dudes and still doing shit is fucking cool as fuck. So I both big shout outs to you guys as friends and fans end.
I'm happy that Toby is relevant way more just the music and everything. But I'm saying like Toby does what I do my thing. I mean, I'm who I am, whatever. But Toby does something that's way beyond me. It's a positive stuff for the kids and stuff like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'll do here and there benefits for the Children's Tumor Foundation. But
yeah, you do.
You know what I mean? But this guy every day is for the kids. You know what I mean? And that's here's the heart. And that's why when a few months ago, when the whole thing with those kids turned on you on the thing when you took a picture of those cops and you were fucking upset, bro. And I was like, you can't. These big little motherfuckers don't know anything. They never had anything. They had everything given to them. I mean, they went through nothing, and they're like, all cops are bad bastards. No, my father's a cop. I know cops. You mean defund the police? How do you defund the police, bro? It's like, you need cops, especially the kids who are crying to defund the police. If something happens to their mother or something, they can't even fight. They can't protect their mom or their dad, you know, older people. So these kids are, listen, Toby, I know you love the kids, but once you let them get in your head, you know what I mean? That's it. There's people that love you. Forget about those people don't know. And they'll go through life, and one day they'll be like, oh, I should never say that to Toby. You know what I mean?
Thank you, brother. I would
be lying to both Jay. I'd be lying to you. Toby, I'd be lying to you. If all the comments, you know, when they write some comments, if I said it didn't hurt me, I would be lying to you. This shit hurts me.
Well, listen, I mean,
Human. We're human, and we're passionate about what we do, what we love.
It hurts me so bad. That I got two switches, loving, or violent. You know what I mean? And my thing is like, I don't want to be violent anymore.
Well, and you know, listen, I think the thing is too is like, unfortunately, like we come out of a scene that people get off on talking shit and kind of adding to it. You know what I'm saying? It's like.
Yeah,
like I've always said too,
since the message boards.
Well, and just the entire culture,
the
man.
Message.
Like, you know, like it's like, what other music scene really like almost ever makes you feel bad for getting ahead or making money other than what I'm saying? Like, it's really weird. Like,
they love you. You could burn churches and fucking date younger women. That's great. No, he fucked the corpse. Oh, I love him. Like, weird shit. You'd be a piece of shit, like scumbag, and do like rap, like hardcore, and people are like, oh, he's great, oh, he pisses on bitches' faces, and you're like, oh, it's amazing, you know? Like, what's wrong with it? Like, you know, I mean, it's weird. I mean, you can do whatever you want to do, but if you hurt kids or fucking beat women, and you know, like, I don't want to deal with you. You know, you're not a man. You
I mean, listen, here's
up,
the thing, right? Dude. Genuine people stick around, and that's why people like Toby and Isaac are still here doing shit all these years later. I mean, you can't fake that shit, and.
He's a role
model.
Well,
listen, here's the thing. People,
Toby's a role model.
Listen, man, people online are going to come and go, and they do their thing. But genuine people stand the test of time, dude, and we're still here. So I do want to talk a little bit about music and turn this into a little bit of other thing, because obviously Toby, big part of what Toby does is H2O. So, Toby, where before we were talking about, you were saying that there were some tours and stuff. Were we going to get a new album this year prior to COVID, or was there some new music coming our way?
We've been talking to a friend of ours who produces to maybe do like a – It's been 5 years since the last album. Do like maybe a 3-song EP or something.
Can you tell us who the producer?
Okay.
No. Hold on. One second. Don't okay me. Because I know you told me. Every time you do a song, you have me do like a one fucking line, and I'm tired of bullshit, bro. Like Loop or Sing It All. They got fucking their own songs. I want a fucking verse.
Okay, I'll tell you who the producer is offline, and then you know you'll be on it for sure. but he's like, let me tell you this though. One of my favorite lines you say on Nothing to Prove is TCOB, dude, and the crowd, whole crowd sings. Like, I loved having those different voices on that song, each boy saying like their thing. So yeah, I got you for sure. You can quote me on this shit right here, bro, on your podcast.
I know Freddie Madball got a song. You have a whole album with him. I put you on Scarhead, so I love.
Scar Love, son. Yeah.
Scar Love is a classic too, man. I do want to talk about that.
Adam Blake and Rusty Pistachio played in Scarhead too. People don't know that.
Snickers.
So Toby, can you share who the producer is yet, or do you not want to say who you were talking to just yet? And I totally get if you can't.
Maybe I'll do it. Later,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Cool.
I don't want to jinx anything.
No. I get it, dude. I totally get it. Toby, tell me your memories about recording Scarred Love, as we were just talking about, because that's one of my favorite tracks on that EP. What do you remember about doing that?
I think we did that in Jersey, Isaac, right?
What, Scarred Love? Yeah, Jersey.
Yeah, it was in Jersey. I remember, was it with Dean Rispler?
I don't know. One of these guys.
Yeah, I think
it was Dean Rispler or someone else. I don't remember.
Yeah, I remember singing it. Yeah, it was a super
Big
fun
Blue
song.
Was it Big Blue Meanie?
Yes. Yep. And that was him. Was that Hoboken?
Yes. Hoboken.
I remember. Yep. And it was with Dean. Yeah, it was fun. It was super fun doing that record. And that was a great EP. I love that Scarhead EP when it came out. That shit was so ahead of its time. And Isaac set it off with the two singers, all that stuff. And that was a fun project, man.
It was cool, too, because at the time, to hear use your melodic vocals against something so different, you know what I mean, because it was totally. It's very heavier than H2O, so it was to hear you sing something like that was cool as fuck, man. I like the EP version of that a lot. So it's really cool, man, the vibe and the vocal on that.
That was really funny, man. But Toby really believes his music. He's in there. Way Toby believes his lyrics, I believe my lyrics, so it's kind of
For sure, right? That was really fun doing Scarhead. That was a great record. And freaking Kings of Crime, and those are classics, man. Classic shit, man.
Yeah, we did a whole episode recapping Kings of Crime. So, what else, Isaac? I know you had a couple of things that you had wanted to talk to, you had wanted to ask Toby about.
Toby, listen. I know we had such great, what was the best times we ever had? I remember us going on tour, watching the Mighty Boston's playing. You play, remember?
Woo!
Remember
great
that?
Tour.
We went to Boston, remember? I went with Laz, great. I think. Also, Toby and I used to just make jokes all the time, but also, Toby and I worked construction together.
Oh my God, what was that like, Toby?
So me, Isaac, Pete Sick of It All, and Sick of It Out, we built
Alvarez.
The sound factory.
Shout out to old man Alvarez.
So we built the sound factory on 54th Street during this hot ass summer. We weren't doing tours or nothing at the time. So somehow during the course of building, we found out that we're working with asbestos. And Isaac's fuck that. We start getting, so I think, I don't know what happened. Only my memory is that Isaac took off his helmet and threw it down an elevator shaft or something and almost hit the foreman. I don't know what happened. And then Isaac's yo, fuck this, we out. And Isaac pretty much forced us all to quit. He cocked us all out. I remember walking up the street what am I going to do? Where are we going to work? What are we fucking doing?
But then the girls next door. We were hanging out the girls next door. And one of them thought, it was crazy. He liked us.
That's right. Yes.
That was some funny shit, bro.
And what I was saying the other day, which is really, talk to John Joseph on the podcast, is about me, Isaac, and all of us. We weren't the new guys, but John's an OG guy. And so when we first started seeing John Joseph, and we'd be all rolling up deep to these hip hop club sheets and pillows, to the Ritz, to Airbnb, Rakim, ill hip hop shows. And we see John there, and we give him a look. He'd give us the nod, he knew we were the new blood, and he was the OG, and it was like a respect like this. Now, we didn't know him that well yet, but we'd see him in the club dancing with this lady and shit. Like,
yeah, we go to all girls' practice clubs. You know what I mean?
Yeah, dude.
And I was so into graffiti at the time, and Toby didn't really understand what it was. I'm saying, like, a lot of stuff, we all hung out there. Freddie Maple, everyone. You know, like,
were you at the Ritz when there's a shootout during Eric B. and Rakim?
Yes, we're sound.
Oh, my God. We were running down the fire escape. The lights came on, running down the fire escape. Oh, my God.
I seen Toby see me at my best and also see me at my worst. I was thinking about the other day. This media was talking about Connecticut. Remember Connecticut?
Yeah.
He
goes, oh, yeah. But, yo, I'm saying, it's survival mode, guys. I'm saying. So to all you kids out there who, like, see these tough guys in the hardcore and stuff and want to be like that, don't be like that, bro. You know, because those are the guys that are left, on the floor that no one cares about. Be nice to people.
Going to the hip-hop clubs and dancing and all that stuff. And, I don't know, just listen, when you hear Mobb Deep or some of these songs that were, like,
Dr. So Dre, remember when we first heard Cypress Hill? We heard Cypress Hill the first time, yeah. House of Pain. We're like, House of Pain. We're like, jump around.
All that, we rocked all those. I know. It was such a everything together, man. The hardcore and like the hip hop. You know what I mean? Like, I'm looking at the picture. Just the picture behind me. It's like Social D, Wu Tang.
Dude, you got Sade.
Social Distortion. Between Heaven and Hell was my favorite album. I used to play harp with me and Toby played every day.
Oh, that shit was hard, yeah.
So good, dude. And going to see them play. I'm trying to show you something right here. Hang on a second.
Wait, let's see.
No, just my picture. Oh yeah, so look. So this is the perfect example.
What?
Crown of Thorns.
That's sick. Yeah, there you go.
Where?
Right there, top. Top corner.
Crown of Thorns.
Oh, Crown of Thorns, yeah.
And then, Descendants, Biggie, Slick Rick.
I'm right there with the whole.
That's cool as fuck.
Save, House of Pain, Ice Cube, Embrace, Descendants, Fugazi. That's all. It's like all my inspiration here, man. Sick. All my wall, man.
Yeah, that's so dope, Toby. I mean, I'm actually happier right now that I saw that.
I think that's one. I gotta say, man, one of my favorite things I think growing up was always watching, like, how cool the unity was with, like, your guys' bands, like H2O, Madball, Crown of Thorns. You know, like, it was really cool. Connecticut always had.
We were friends.
Yeah, it was cool. I mean, we always had our thing in Connecticut, and you guys always had your thing too. And it was just like, it was really awesome, man. It's cool to see that shit, and I like that. Again, dude, looking at Toby's house all these years later, it's like the dude's got your cover on his walls, like. That's cool as fuck, man.
You know what? That's so fucking cool,
bro. Yeah, that's cool as fuck. That's
amazing.
Yeah, it's part of my life, man. My family. Even if we live far away from each other, we're all still connected. You know what I mean? Like, it's pretty amazing how that works.
That's sick.
I think I have another picture. I got another picture here on my wall right here, brother.
Wait,
it's on my wall right here. You. Maybe with two hips.
That's awesome.
Oh, sheepskin. Oh, shit. Peter's going to get mad at me.
That's another thing you just brought up. The thing's really amazing is that, like, I've always been a vegetarian, vegan, straight as you, hanging out with all you guys, and that never mattered to me.
And I'd be eating burgers, eating sheepskin, smoking, like, doing drugs, and hanging out with Toby.
That's what I'm saying. Like, there was a couple other guys, but really, no. I just remember I was always the guy carrying the boombox, playing, like, all the new hip hop on the cassette tape, and, like, I don't know, just hanging out with you guys. It was a different reality because I moved there from Maryland to Rhode Island to New York, and Queens. I moved into Flushing with Timmy Chunks in '88, and I became like this Queens guy. Yeah, I went from like Flushing to the Schick House with Craig Sick of It All and Devil, and then I went to like Dave Stein's house with Squirm. Yeah, then I went to the GB House in Jackson Heights.
You lived in the closet.
I lived in the closet, Alan Cage's bedroom at Jackson Heights, yes. and then Isaac, and then I lived in Astoria and Arthur's house. Remember, there was some girl that I had just met, I was hanging out with, and I found out at the same time you were hanging out with her too or something.
See the booth. Yo, knock. See, That's Marco Siega's cousin.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Dude, Marco,
I talked to Narc the other day. Shout out to Narc. And me and that cute, like, how am I going to tell this girl that I don't like her? So I told her, I can't date you because my boy Narc is in love with you. And she went out to Narc and goes, I fucking hate you.
Oh, my God.
Oh, shout out to Narc. He was like, fuck it, I don't care.
Man. Well, so before we let Toby go and wrap up for the night, Toby, plug the last couple things. Plug the podcast. Plug your Instagram so everybody knows where you're at and where we can find you and stuff and what's going on, what else everything's going on.
You can find me at Toby Morrison Instagram or One Life, One Chance podcast.
Yes.
The podcast, it comes out every Monday. It's everywhere. You can find it everywhere. It's crazy because, like you said, I banked on my podcast. So, like, I'm sitting on, like, 40 episodes I haven't even dropped yet. I've been banking here. So now I can chill the rest of the year and just drop them on Monday and still do new ones. So I'm dropping ones now that I did a year ago.
Oh, sick.
People are like, where's my podcast? I'm like, I'm trying to do it in order. I'm trying to have, like, organization to it. But, And so, that's been really, really fun. You can get the merch, h2omerch.com. What else should I plug, Mama? Podcast, H2O. Hopefully we're playing next year. The thing about next year is, like, I'm seeing all these festivals and all these and all these tours that got pushed. But I have no control over that. So what I've learned on this lockdown is do not stress about shit I cannot control. Right. I cannot control the future. I can control this moment. And right now we're living day to day. There's really no light in the tunnel. We have a selection coming up in less than 50 days. Anything can happen. And I hate politics. So I'm just trying to focus on being healthy and my family being
fuck
healthy.
Politics.
But,
yeah, fuck politics.
Yeah, we're... And so, like, next year, it looks dope that I'm doing this tour. But until I'm there, I really can't think about it because I don't want to stress about it. I know I'll play music someday again. But right now, I got to focus on the pod, everything else, my health, just everything, and staying healthy. You know what I'm saying?
You're a family man. But check this out. Next year, Scarhead H2O European tour.
That'd be sick.
How would that be?
That'd be sick, man.
We gotta make it happen.
Yeah, you guys booking tours. It's one more thing about. We're gonna talk about the hair game real quick. Ezek's made fun of me my whole life about my hair, just my hairline. And Ezek's hairline is so on point, man. It's not going anywhere.
Bow down to that. the magical mane of Lord Ezek.
Ezek used to draw these pictures of me as Mayor Koch, and then I would draw pictures of Ezek as the Predator or alien.
Oh my!
As you call you Frank Perdue. Robert England about the makeup, nigga.
Listen, so somehow, some way, Branson took this photo that I drew of Ezek, and they made stickers of it.
like 10,000 stickers of my ETA.
Yo, that's.
I'll get you for that, motherfucker. I'm gonna get you.
You know what? We've always been breaking each other's balls our whole entire life, and there's one thing I learned about New York is that it's a tough love.
Yeah,
like Ezek and your friends, they can break your balls as much as they want. But some stranger says something to you, they're gonna get rat packed. But we're only allowed to break your balls because you're our friend. And nobody else.
But it's this
tough love thing that I really gave me a thicker skin moving to New York and being embraced by these guys and hanging out with these guys and seeing a different side to the world. And we all come from different neighborhoods and backgrounds and families, but.
Hardcore brought us together, and another thing that people don't understand is the mentality of who we were, came from. Toby was into violence. Two things came into my life that I went into, but I grasped. It was part of my branding. It was violence and fucking drug use. You know what I'm saying? Like, not drug use, like a junkie, but like partying and doing blow and fucking, you know, tripping acid, mushrooms. You know, so Toby was not down with that. So at one point when we started doing music and he's like, I got to choose a lane to do something. And And already he got married already, and he's like, I'm doing the music now, and but I can't get caught up with this. So he did his thing. And I'm so proud for you for doing that.
Thank you, man.
And but for me, I'm who I am, and I'm from where I'm from. So I
totally.
It wasn't like we were dissing each other. Like, it was just like, I understand where you're going. Do it. You know what I mean? I'm doing me, and I'm always be me. You know what I mean? But I understood where you were going.
But that's signs of true
friendship,
in the fact that you guys support each other and that you genuinely care about each other. Because like I was saying, no further point than the fact that the dude's got your cover on his wall. I mean, like. You know what I'm saying? Like that?
And always said, like, I'm, you know, I'm who I am. And you know, it took me up to 3 years ago, three years ago to really be like, yo, I need to make everything better for my life. No, for my son, for everything. So later on in life, he'll be proud of me and be like, when my son sees this, he's going to be like, I can't believe that my father did all the stuff and he was a good man. And you know what I mean? He's going to see it one day. So 3 years ago, I was like, no more fucking mom with shit to make me fucking go crazy. You know what I mean? No more drama. I got a good woman got my back, who's a partner of mine. She's not my property, she's a partner of mine. She's the one that completes me and helps me out. Because I still say stupid stuff. Like, I can't say retard and all that. She's like, oh, you can't say that. You know? She checks everything I say on my Instagram and everything. So I'm happy that I wanted to go your route, Toby, but I couldn't. My circumstance, who I am, and what I'm down with. You understand? But now,
I'm at
a part of my life that I'm on that path, and I'm happy. You know?
I love that, man.
That's awesome, man.
I love that.
Yeah,
I'm not gonna sit here and lie and tell you that I was not worried about you, and I didn't think about you and reached out to you. I know I have many times throughout the year since. We don't live by each other, because I know that you like to party and do all that stuff.
I'm always still getting stabbed and stuff like that.
I know. And so, but when I heard that story of that most recent thing where you went to protect somebody, I wasn't surprised at your age that you were still doing shit like that, because that's who you are. And I love and respect you for that. I worry about it, like hearing you get stabbed, or if I see it, like you might be partying, but you're a grown ass man and you're controlling your life. But it's my job as a friend this many miles away. I have this connection with you I had since I was very young. And of course I want to worry about you. You know what I'm saying? Like, 'cause you're my friend.
Yeah. I love you. You know what I mean? Like you're in a good path, and I'm just saying, like, people have different destinies. You know what I mean? My thing is, like, I'm trying my best in the world to do the right thing. When I was 2016, when I was like really fucked up, I first met my girl. I remember talking. I sometimes don't remember even talking to people. I was like all fucked up.
Yeah.
And I was on. I never did drugs like fucking Molly or fucking all this stuff. And I'm so happy that, like, oh my god. But it took a year of fucking fucked up. And I'm sorry. I won't apologize to anyone out there that year, 2017, the beginning of 2017. I was fucked up, and I'm like, I changed my life. But still, I'm still I am. Like, there's a switch on me. If I'm like, hey, stop, like, three times to give a chance, the fourth time, you know what's going to happen, you know what I mean? So,
yeah.
But that's only, but never, 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 listen, violence is not the answer, but sometimes it has to be done. Is that weird?
Well, I was never.
Is that
was,
weird? Not weird? But listen, endorsement's done.
And that was never me, but I always appreciate you having my back. I'll always appreciate that, no matter what. And you had so many people's back, and I feel like a lot of your life, and maybe the stigma about Lord Ezak was something that wasn't. It's not 100% true, because a lot of things I witnessed with you,
I would agree,
was
yeah.
protecting and was standing up for people and taking people's back, women and men. And I feel like, obviously, the reputation is the reputation, but people that really know you have a big heart, and you're a teddy bear, and you love the cranberries, and you love the sundaes, and you love the Cure, and you love Sade, and you love all this. Sade. We used to listen to that shit in the van all the time, and there's a side of you that, like, you're a fucking human being, dude. You have fucking feelings, you know? Yeah. But there's another side where, like, don't fucking cross me, don't disrespect me, don't disrespect my friends. And that's something I admired, because you give zero fucks when it comes to shit like that. Like, you know what I mean? I'm just saying, you do. Like, you don't care about the consequences. You're in that moment to protect or stand up for somebody. So,
but I tell you right now, the consequences could be heavy. Just, if you're in any situation as a young kid, just think about everything. Life is crazy. Nowadays, there's cameras everywhere.
Yeah, that's true.
Don't. I'm happy there's cameras everywhere now, because I want my son to go to be in a violent environment. So it's like, yo, like Max, you don't want to do, I'm happy there's the people out here that are talking about people's problems in school and stuff like that. So it's cool.
Yeah.
We progress, man.
So on that note,
open conversations.
Yeah. On that note, we're going to wrap up our episode of the Corona Chronicles. I want to give a big shout out to Toby for joining us tonight.
Toby,
thank you so much. I want to give another shout out to our first guest, Insane Poetry, tonight. Guys, thank you so much to everybody who's been subscribing to the YouTube. I was telling Isaac, we just broke 1,000 subscribers on YouTube, so we're really excited about that. Woo! The numbers are up across all the board for us. Newsletter signups have been amazing. So, guys, thank you so much. Once again, thank Toby. Thank you, Isaac. Thank you, Insane Poetry. We will talk to you guys soon on the next episode. Peace.
Toby there. The world is mine.
Hi, I'm Daniela Clark.
I'm Barbara Ann Wild.
And we are the Honest AF Show.
Our podcast is real honest conversation with our celebrity friends and pros.
Covering our anything but average rock and roll lifestyles.
All while tackling the hell that is aging and the battle of beauty.
Oh yeah, nothing is off the table.
The Honest AF Show is available wherever you get your podcasts.